Hello, everyone, and welcome to NWR Connectivity, episode 385. I'm your host, John Reardon, and I'm joined, as I so often am, by Neil Ronahan.
Hi.
Hello. Also joining us is Alex DeFritis.
Hi.
You guys are very talkative this week, and I appreciate it. It's nice to have people to kind of bounce off, have a real natural conversation with.
Yes.
We're going to talk about...
Affirmative.
It's going to be a horrible episode. We've got multiple pieces of listener mail to get to. But first, I, last night at midnight, picked up a game in my favorite series of all time.
Star Fox Superstars.
As you and Donald saw, I was very tired when I was writing the title. I don't remember what I had typed in.
It was Super Superstars.
Superstars. They're so super.
Well, there is a fox in this game.
There is, but he's like a villain. Well, no, what is the bad guy?
What?
I mean, there's also Tails.
Fang, yeah.
What is he? Is he a wolf?
I think he's a wolf.
It's like him and this little robot that I think they might kind of be. I feel like this game is trying to have a story, but I don't care.
Why did you not think of Tails first?
I don't know. Listen.
He's vanilla.
Yeah. When you're as into Sonic the Hedgehog as I am, like, Tails just sort of disappears, you know? And I'm so invested in the more obscure characters. Like, Tails is sort of basic.
Like Charmy the Bee.
Yeah. Like, I barely even think of Sonic
Vector
anymore.
The Crocodile.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like when you're a real Star Wars fan, you're no longer interested in Luke Skywalker. You're more like, what is Ochi of Bestoon up to?
It's so true.
Yo,
so
Bestoon
very true.
Platoon.
Bestoon.
Have we said that? Did we say that last week on the podcast? Or was that before we started recording?
We're doing a book club, gang. It's Shadow of the Sith. It's a book about
Not to be confused
Star Wars.
With Shadows of the Empire.
Yeah, no.
Which you could read instead.
Actually, I was about to be like, Shadows of the Empire is actually good, but like...
It's
borderline.
That
original book is not great. I have an affinity for Dash Rendar.
Yep, the best version of Shadows of the Empire is the N64 game.
Yes.
Having read that book, the N64 game is significantly better.
Yeah, I really like the N64 game, and then I read the book, and I was like, do I really like this? It's not a good one.
No.
Remember, like, that's one of those ones where, like, it's greater than the sum of its parts.
Well, Shadows of the Empire is such an interesting, there's like a really good, I don't know what it's called. There's a really great like documentary style video on YouTube that goes through like the entire history of that game. But it's such a cool instance of like they essentially just wanted to see if they could do a movie like merchandise cycle without ever making a movie.
Yeah.
Oh. Which is great. And that's what Shadows of the Empire is. So they have the book, they have the game, they have the toys, they have the soundtrack. There's just no movie for it.
Yeah.
I think that's really funny.
Shadow of the Sith is for anybody that cares. It is a book that was written to explain things that weren't properly explained in Episode 9,
which is every movie in the sequel trilogy also has a series of books that are there purely to make that movie okay.
Yeah. John, did you know of what Seren has forced me to have the ultimate outcome of this experience is?
No.
At the end of reading this book, I'm going to rewatch Rise of Skywalker for the first time since theaters in 2019.
Oh, do you want me to watch it with you? You
Maybe.
Want me to come over?
We should watch it in a call.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'll...
I mean, I'm down for that. Like... That's what, like, as we were talking and I started reading the book, I'm like, I think I'm halfway through it at this point. Maybe.
Oh,
maybe
you're flying. Oh, God.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I can power read when I need to be.
You don't need to. You can slow down.
It's I want to get through this so I can read the MCU dirt book, man. Like,
yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I went to the library today and they already had it checked out. Somebody's already reading.
It's Neil.
Yeah, no, it's me. It's me. That's what I did is I had a conversation with Seren like 2 weeks ago and then put it on hold. And me picking it up on hold and sending a picture to her and Matt saying, look, I got it, is what set off this book club of reading Shadow of the Sith. It also does help that I think I had out of like Seren finished the book, but out of the people who, you know, are starting this book club, I think I might have been the first person to have access to it. So that helps.
I mean, I don't know when I bought it, but I've had it. I don't know. Have you guys ever done Audible before?
Yeah,
you get like a free book credit.
Well, you get a credit every month. And like a lot of months I do a pretty good job of getting through a book, and so I'm just ready when that next one comes along. But now and then you'll get like behind where you're listening to more podcasts or something, and then you look at Audible and you're like, oh, I have 5 credits, and so I would just go and buy a bunch, like buy the next book in every series I was on, and at some point I got Shadow of the Sith, so I was ready.
I mean, I will say, you know, where I'm at is it is like good old fashioned EU nonsense. I actually don't think it's that bad. I think it's just like absurd.
Yeah, nothing that I've seen so far has offended me. But I get where there are kind of two kinds of extended universe book, like one that's retconning a movie and another one that's actually interested in being a book. Yeah. And this is the former.
What helps me out with this book so far is that it seems like the author is in on the fact that this book is dumb.
Right.
And leans into it. Holy hell.
I mean, yeah, in fairness, even beyond this book, like half of the Favreau Filoniverse exists to make the sequels make sense now.
Yep.
Like, I mean, the entire
The Bad Batch, every Mando, Ahsoka, everything.
Yeah. Honestly, Ahsoka
might not be.
I think Ahsoka
might actually make more problems than anything
Ahsoka
else.
Ahsoka was them paying Filoni back for doing all that work to make.
Yeah. I mean, the Bad Batch is almost borderline directly connected. Like it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're doing a book club. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess if you want to read Shadow of the Sith, if you've never read a Star Wars novel before, this is not a good one to start with, but I'm sorry.
Yeah. Lando's in it.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's something.
Well, how does he act? Does he act like Rise of Skywalker Lando?
Listen, Billy Dee Williams did like a lot of drugs. And he's just sort of gone.
It is. I did watch the clip because there's like I think we've been sharing the clip of every mention of Ochi of Bastoon in Rise of Skywalker. And there is like a clip of Lando there. And I forgot how like. And it's hard for me to like knock some of the older actors reprising roles in the sequel trilogy. But man,
well,
Billy Dee Williams as Lando in that movie is just like. It's not like even he's doing a bad job. I also think they're just like, oh, we got to fit Lando into this movie somehow. How do we do it?
Oh, well, and I mean, every time Billy Dee Williams shows up at like a Star Wars celebration panel or something, it's just the best because like they might ask him a question, but that's not going to be what he answers. Like you just hand the guy the microphone and he's just going to talk about something. You don't know what it's going to be. And I can't imagine filming with him. I'm sure it was incredible.
I mean, the man who was paid off to not be Two-Face, a legend. But Sonic the Hedgehog. So you've been playing Sonic Superstars. You have the tech video if people are curious about how the Switch version holds up. John, what do you think of 2D Sonic, your favorite series?
I think this game sucks. Like
Well, I mean, like, so for people who don't know, John does not like 2D Sonic.
No. I will say, like, I thought Sonic Mania was okay sometimes. I thought Sonic Mania got, like, borderline okay when it wasn't trying to do something from the original and was trying to do its own ideas instead.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of creativity.
Yeah, the worst thing you can do with 2D Sonic is have it be subservient to the original games, because they're bad and they always have been. You're just nostalgic. It's okay, you were a kid. I get it. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
I mean, you like Star Fox, so you know what it's like to be nostalgic for crappy games, right?
I'm not even going to fight you, because, you know, I need to like let these people think that that's on the same level to help them in their recovery process. So nice things I will say about this game. The Switch port is surprisingly good. runs at like a locked 60 frames per second the whole time. When you're playing it handheld, it runs at 720p, so it is the resolution of the Switch screen. Like, this game handheld is like technically excellent. It's a little like, you know, texture resolution is bad. I described it in the video as looking kind of like when you take like a really nice looking Wii game and emulate it in HD. Like, so it's like, this looks really good for a Wii game, but like it ultimately kind of still looks like a Wii game. That's what Sonic Superstars looks like.
That's that sounds fine. I will say I am staring at my Switch copy. I tried to play some before, but there was an update that I was waiting for to download.
But yeah, so like the Switch port itself is good. The one weird thing I did notice is when you dock and play on the TV, it's still 720p with no changes graphically, which is kind of odd. Usually when you dock your Switch, it gets access. Like, it essentially, a docked Switch can eat more power than a handheld Switch is allowed to. And so that usually gets translated as like a higher resolution or some upped graphics settings or something like that. And the fact that this game is hitting 60 frames per second, like no problem, makes me think there's probably some headroom in resolution. And I would love to see them patch it to run at maybe 900, if not 1080 when docked. That would be really cool. I think that the game does a really good job of matching the physics and feel of Genesis Sonic in a 2.5D engine, which, as we've noticed with New Super Mario Bros., I don't think is easy. Now, whether or not matching Genesis Sonic physics is a good thing is up to your own personal interpretation. I think this game handles like just garbage, but I will say that it doesn't rely as much on gotchas as the first three Sonic games did, where those games, the thing that always bothered me about them is that they're games about going fast that then are dedicated to punishing you for going fast. This game has less moments where you're just running along, and then like there's a wall and they put a spring in it to send you backwards. Like, there's no reason to do that to me, game. That's just a mean thing to do. Don't do that. And this one doesn't do that, so I'll give it credit for that. I think the music is nice. It still has a casino level, but other than that, level variety feels like they're not all levels I've seen in other Sonic games, which is cool.
What's the first level like? Is it green?
It's green. Yeah. No, like, we're not going to get that crazy.
Green zone.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's called like Bridge something. But like one of the levels I played earlier, there was like a sky temple that I thought was neat. There was a desert level that reminded me of a cut level from Sonic 2 that I thought was neat. And I will say, I like the boss fights.
I've heard really good things about the boss fights. Yeah, like I did some poking around when the review embargo went up just to see. It's very funny reading. This is going to be Neil getting on his big games media review PR bullshit soapbox. It's funny reading all the reviews because it's just basically like, this is slow as shit. Very frustrating. Battle mode's garbage. 8 out of 10. And I said that as someone who is likely going to have fun with this game, largely because my children are degenerates who like Sonic the Hedgehog.
We all go through a phase.
But I did hear that the boss battle is I think it was actually GX who writes over or like contributes to Sonic Stadium, also a charter member of the NWR Discord, made a comment about how like the boss battles are reminiscent of older ones, but they like do things that you wish they would have done.
Yeah, they're on a totally different level from old Sonic boss fights. Like, these are boss fights that I don't think are, they're not super reliant on being Sonic the Hedgehog boss fights. Like, these boss fights could work in other 3D platforms. Like, these could be Donkey Kong Country boss fights, right? They're not reliant on anything that makes Sonic unique. But they're just really good 2D platformer boss fights. Each one has sort of its own unique hook and mechanic that you need to figure out, like how to damage the boss and what to do. That's kind of been the one element of the game where like the boss fights are legitimately great. Like, if I were going to review this game, which I am not, Matt's doing that, so it'll probably get a much higher score than if I were doing it, because I think Matt likes 2D Sonic.
Although I might be contributing to the multiplayer. I did tell Matt that he should just come over and play Sonic with me and my kids, but I don't think he's doing it.
if I were going to review it based on what I've played, which is admittedly not all of the game yet, I'd give it like a 6. but the boss fights would definitely be a highlight for me.
Honestly, that seems higher than I would have expected from you.
It's not like, I mean, it's, and I guess there is like, there's the problem is that I go in knowing exactly what it is, right? Like, it's not like I'm shocked to find out that it controls like ass. So like, that doesn't really shock me. There's no like, oh, this is terrible. It's like, yep, this is what I've been conditioned for.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned to you, like, I'd be very curious. I think I asked you if your kids had played like Genesis Sonic, because I'd be curious, like, do they struggle with the controls or anything like that? Like,
my oldest actually, like, I mean, he's mostly messed around with Forces.
Okay.
As far as actual games that he's played. And I mean, like, when Sonic appears and other stuff, like Mario and Sonic, the Olympics has gotten play, Smash Brothers has gotten play. But I was actually kind of impressed in that he wanted to play Sonic Mania. So like, I set him up with it and I was doing something else. And I came back and like, he was dying at the first boss initially. Like, I think he was struggling with controls a little bit, but he kept trying, which is like awesome to see.
Sure.
And he got a couple worlds in before he got frustrated, which like, honestly, that's
pretty good.
Get lives out of games. We don't need them anymore.
Okay. That's another thing that I'll give Sonic Superstars credit for. There are no lives, no game overs, no continues.
Good.
Oh, that's nice.
Like, when you die, you go back to your checkpoint. End of story.
I think,
like,
I know, I think I reviewed Sonic Mania Plus, I think, with like the big DLC thing, which added like the two characters that they added with that. Sonic Mania is a very good game. But I remember people got very mad at me because I was like, why are lives still in video games in 2019 or whatever?
Mm-hmm. They're a leftover of the arcades. They don't need to be here anymore.
It's archaic. You can have the option, like, games should do the thing where the basic game, like, no game overs, no continues, and then maybe have, like, here's arcade mode. Like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge does it right, where they have that story mode with a world map that you can kind of just mess around and screw around with. You do have a fail state if you, like, you know, lose your lives for a level. That's fine. And then the arcade mode is basically just like, yo, you got to quarter up and make it through. That's fine. That's a good. And the DLC for Shredder's Revenge, very good.
Yeah, but making me like replay sections of the game from scratch because I died too many times is just padding. Like, that's not game design. You're just padding out the length of the game. That's what they were doing on the Super Nintendo, and that's what you're doing now. Like, it's just an old, antiquated thing you don't need to do anymore. It comes from a time when each life was monetized.
Yeah, but I've heard, I'm excited to dive into it. Heard that there's, it's still a Sonic game, and I think, like, if you run through it, it's over pretty quick, but, you know, multiple playable characters. I think there's, like, some, like, different alternate versions of stuff that you can play through.
There's, like, some hidden, or not hidden, there's some, like, optional levels you can unlock. Using fruit, I think. I unlocked one on accident. I like, when you get to the end of the level, there's like a roulette thing, and like, sometimes you get a pineapple, and it's like, okay, or not a pineapple, it's like a pear, and I'm like, great. And then you have to like spend pears to get into levels. Like, there's a fruit theming in this one particular area of the game, and nothing in the rest of the game has to do with fruit. You can also customize a robot for some reason. I assume that at some point in the game, that robot will matter. Like, you can't play as him so far, and I haven't fought him. Maybe he'll matter later.
Is he playable character sized?
He's roughly Sonic sized.
Okay.
I think. I've never seen him in game. I've only seen him in a menu where I could customize him and then not do anything with him.
Hmm.
Surely it matters later.
Can you give him a hat that says gamer on it?
Possibly. Mine has like a police siren on his head, and then he has like drill hands, because I'm like, that reminds me of B drill, and that's pretty cool. And a wolf head, so he is a monstrosity. And like, right, if I ever see him, I'm screwed. I hope he's my friend and not a bad guy.
So, John, now that you've played Sonic Superstars, expanding off of last episode's comparing video games to RZest products, let's go back to Naota Oshima, who is the head of Arzest, his previous company, R-Tune. How does Sonic Superstars compare with the 2007 DS game Yoshi's Island DS? Which is better, Sonic Superstars or Yoshi's Island DS?
They're both pretty by the numbers and boring.
I would have to say Sonic Superstars would have to be absolute dogfire trash for me to think it's worse than Yoshi's Island. I think Yoshi's Island DS is terrible.
Okay, it's been a long time since I've played Yoshi's Island DS. I remember just thinking it was boring, not like that it was actively like awful. That's kind of what I would say about Superstars, is I think it's kind of boring. Like it's just
okay, so maybe they're equal. How about comparing that to 2006 Microsoft published RPG Blue Dragon, which is better, Sonic Superstars or Blue Dragon?
I haven't played Blue Dragon, but as a Xbox fanboy, I am tempted to just.
It's on back compat next game club, buddy. Let's.
Is it on Game Pass?
I think it is. Okay. If not, I think it's.
It's inexpensive.
At some point, I bought it for like $5, digitally, just because. It's not great.
I do have money on my Xbox account because turns out if you just download the Xbox app and occasionally play Xbox games, they will just give you money. I might be able to just buy it on there.
Yeah. I mean that we should do that. Microsoft published Japanese games. So Blue Dragon, Lost Odyssey.
Tales of.
They did Vesperia. I think Tales of Vesperia
was
initially
exclusive
a Microsoft.
To 360. Yeah. Yeah, that game sucks.
It's not great.
A build of Scalebound.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, they will hit up Kamiya. He's not doing anything.
ReCore was in Inafune. Does that count?
Yeah, I want to replay ReCore. I haven't played it. I never played it post update.
I was thinking about making ReCore my alternate for the Paper Mario Game Club, but I couldn't think. Well, because initially we were saying, like, it has to be related to Paper Mario in some way, and I have
nothing.
Throw
out the rules. I made the rules.
Okay. That works.
We were supposed to stream ReCore, John.
Are we? Well, can we stream it for the game club?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I would have to just kick Matt off the near the slot.
Yeah, I've decided my counter pick for the Paper Mario game club is going to be Tingles, the first Tingle game.
Well, if I'm not doing Halo, then I do just want to call out something that we talked about in the NWR Discord, that weirdly, the first three Halo games and the first three Paper Mario games all released, if you go by US release dates, in the same exact years. and then each in their next entry was massively divisive.
Yeah.
The entry after that was secretly good, but underrated.
So five and Color Splash.
Yeah, and then the entry after that is, like, legitimately good. So, like, Halo is just Paper Mario.
And I still think that Origami King and Halo Infinite are both, like, there were unreasonable expectations for those games before they came out. I mean, I would argue Microsoft colossally fucked up everything with Infinite.
The multiplayer, the new season just started today when we're recording, and looks so good. The new team they have doing multiplayer has been doing a really good job of trying to kind of recover it. But yeah, weirdly a sister series for Paper Mario.
Yeah. So that means we should be getting a new Halo game next year.
We'll be getting a remake of. We already got a remake of Halo 2. Maybe we'll get the remake of Halo. Well, we might get a remake of Halo 3. That would be because they've done 1 and 2 already. Yeah, so Halo 3 is next up on the remake train.
I mean, I would probably play that. Halo 3. No, I played 4. 5 is the one I never really played.
It took me years to play 5 because I heard such horrible things. And then I played it on Game Pass and was like, oh, this is great. Like, I don't get, like, this is so good.
I don't think he's, I don't know if this is kosher to say or not, but I think PGC founder Billy Berghammer, I think he might have done, like, freelancing. For 343 or something around that period of time. Halo 4. Yeah.
In which case, it's the best one I've ever played. Good job, Billy. You nailed it.
Yeah. No, but that's, I wound up getting Halo 4 at launch. I think it was like, oh, yeah, my buddy helped out with this.
Halo 4 was like a 343, but then like they brought on, like there's Kynan, a lot of Kynan Metroid Pearson. Prime. Yeah, there's a lot of Metroid Prime lineage in Halo 4.
Yeah, because I think that's when David Ellis, who's old head 1UP.com guy, and it's been at 343 for like over a decade now. Mm-hmm. I think David Ellis was on a telethon back then around when it came out and was talking about how there's a lot of retro studios in Halo 4. And honestly, solid game. It showed.
It's okay. The plot's good. Gameplay's a little rough, but it was also like their first one.
Yeah.
So it's probably better than Sticker Star.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Where does ODST fall into this?
ODST,
is that a Mario and Luigi game?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Is that Paper Jam?
Paper Jam. Yeah.
Yep.
Halo Wars. Oh, man. They should make a Mario turn-based tactics game like Halo Wars.
I'd actually rather play that than regular Paper Mario. Well, isn't that...
Wait, turn-based?
Mario, that's Rabbids.
Or RTS.
Oh, but yeah, Halo Wars is real time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not turn-based. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd play a Mario RTS. Toad armies.
All right, we should get to rest of the episode's gonna be listener mail, but we've got some topics to talk about. That one of them connected to our favorite company, Microsoft. Cherry Goblin says, hey, connectivity, the deal for Microsoft to acquire Acti BlizzKing finally came to a close. What does this mean for Nintendo? What will be the next big acquisition for both Microsoft and Sony? Personally, I think Ubisoft is the next one up for sale. What's up for Nintendo, baby? We're getting Call of Duty. Y'all psyched?
How many years is that supposed to be? Like
10.
10? A decade of Call of Duty.
Hell yeah. Let's roll. Play some Warzone and 240p.
Yeah, it's weirdly, this deal is like, well, it's not like Activision was that. So we got, you know, Spyro and Crash, which kind of cancel each other out because you got one good thing and one bad thing.
Well, it's also Spyro and Crash, most of them were dramatically later than every other version.
Right.
Crash 4 was after the Xbox and PlayStation releases. I think the Spyro trilogy was after Xbox.
Spyro was later. I think Crash Team Racing was day and date, I believe.
Crash Rumble is still not on Switch.
Oh, God, I forgot that existed.
Damn.
Man, I'm glad we. Yeah, I don't think it means much for Nintendo. Like, we'll get Call of Duty. But I think it remains to be seen how interested Microsoft is in, like, I think it'll be a while before they do too much exclusive stuff with Activision IPs. I think they want to at least play the game that they're playing nice with everybody for a while. Maybe give it a year or two. But yeah, I don't think this has a huge effect for Nintendo, at least as Nintendo stands right now. I don't think we're losing a lot. I think Activision stuff was already kind of drifting away from where Nintendo's at right now. So if anything, we gained Call of Duty. But
it is also, I was looking it up to just be like, oh, look at how few games Activision just isn't putting out that many video games anymore.
Well, they've culled back on. I mean, they've essentially kind of done the Sony thing of, if it's not a giant blockbuster, we're not doing it.
Yeah.
And so, like, we had that brief glorious moment of like Spyro and Crash and Tony Hawk and that kind of stuff, like testing the waters with that. But then it kind of seems like after that, they were like, you know what? No, just Call of Duty, just Overwatch, Diablo. They've kind of culled back on their more interesting IPs, which that is one area where I'm actually kind of interested to see what Microsoft does with them, because we've seen with the Bethesda studios that Microsoft is pretty open to letting studios work on what they want to work on, even if it's not the thing that they're totally known for. That can result in horrible things like Redfall, but it can also result in awesome stuff like Hi-Fi Rush. So I'm interested to see what they do with that studio. I'm interested to see what they do with those IPs.
Funnily enough, I think, you know, the concerns about consolidation are totally valid, but Activision's never been a really good steward of their own IP and studios. So I kind of have a little bit more hope in what, like, is new for Crash or Spyro or Tony Hawk with Microsoft than Activision, at least in recent years.
All right, I'm gonna put on my something that you've said, Alex, is gonna stick in my craw. I will say, Activision for the past decade, fuck them. Like, yeah, the Tony Hawk game's real good. I really did enjoy Skylanders, but also, Activision, let's say 20 years ago, weirdly big innovators in the space of video games that I don't think they get as much credit as they probably should. Yes, they did over monetize and destroy all those things, but I think without Activision, we don't see Guitar Hero at the level it is. We don't see Toys to Life at the level that it was. Like, there's a lot of things that Activision put into the world and put resources behind and supported developers for things for, you know, a little while. And then, of course, capitalism would take over and, you know, we'd be putting out 15 versions of Guitar Hero, Aerosmith or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, we don't have Plastic Instruments without Activision. We don't have Skylanders, which I will. Those games ruled.
Led to, you know, Disney Infinity.
And Amiibo. Like, that's without that, like, none of that happens. And that was a, you know, big risk by Activision. I'm trying to think of, like, have they had anything like that
really contributed to the landfill economy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, if that's what you're concerned about, maybe you shouldn't be playing video games.
Oh no, yeah. I was just making a joke because all of your examples were like plastic peripherals.
Yeah,
I do. But I will say, I professionally throw away a lot of broken Guitar Hero guitars on a weekly basis.
Well, there was a thing with, first off, fuck Bobby Kotick. It sucks. He's out at Activision at the end of the year. It'd be cooler if he was out right now. He's going to get a lot of money. That's corporate America and CEOs.
But at least he's
Moneyball.
Yeah. He's got his cameo in Adam Sandler movies or whatever too. I think, was he the one who showed up in one of those too?
Did he?
I think he's in a Sandler.
I know he talked to Brad Pitt in Moneyball, and I don't know why.
Yeah, he did. Called in a favor, buddy. But there was like the last all hands for Activision. Yeah. He apparently made some comment about how, I mean, it was hosted by James Corden.
Yep.
Corden.
Yeah.
But he talked about like, oh, we should bring back Guitar Hero. And as someone who, I mean, Rock Band is one of my favorite series of all time. Like that run of, I mean, Rock Band 1 and 2 are all timers in my opinion, like so much fun with those games. Even the Guitar Hero games, even if Rock Band kind of Harmonix was the true pioneer of all of these things, but Activision put out some bangers around that time as well. I don't see any world where Guitar Hero comes out and it's actually any good, because
you
need
tried this
to have Guitar Hero Live, also pretty good,
but it didn't work. Like, exactly. And that wasn't even, that was less than 10 years ago. Like,
yeah, that was a Wii. I played that on, I reviewed that on Wii U. Which that was sad.
They should have just let you strum directly on the gamepad.
Hero. They put out fucking DJ Hero, man. That game's incredible. Once again, landfill. I forgot. And another company. Oh, no. The Freestyle Games, who did Guitar Hero Live and also DJ Hero. They are not dead, but maybe they are, because they are now Ubisoft Leamington. They're apparently working on Clancy games.
Well, better than working on Skull and Bones.
Yeah. But like, yeah, Guitar Hero can't work without the peripherals. And I don't think we live in a world where those peripherals are getting made again.
No, not as we shift more and more to digital. I think physical peripherals like that just don't make sense.
And if you just are like, oh, let's just put them on a face buttons, like, then that defeats the purpose. The purpose of Guitar Hero is that you're rocking it out and shredding on a guitar.
Yeah.
Like, if not, there are like infinite rhythm games that I can play.
Right. There stops being anything unique. It's just theater rhythm with worse music. though that does lead to this, the you mentioned Ubisoft, at least to the second part of this question, which what gets acquired next? So I don't. Microsoft is probably not going to buy anything for a while. Sony doesn't actually have money. This is a widely misunderstood thing about Sony.
If you notice, a lot of their purchases are like, we are working with this company on a game and we're trying to buy them now in case their game is very good.
Yeah. Yeah. They like Bungie was a big acquisition for them, and Bungie was not that expensive.
Yeah. We'll say, like, give credit where credit's due. Sony buying Insomniac might be one of the smartest things that they've done.
That was a good move.
10 years. Yeah.
Yep.
Insomniac is carrying PS5. Like,
right.
Between Miles Morales, Ratchet and Clank, and you know, Spider-Man 2 seems very good. They've probably made easily three of the top 10, maybe top 5 games on PS5.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it feels like Sony has three studios.
Santa Monica, Insomniac, and
Naughty Dog. Other ones. There's the
Bungie.
Horizon.
Oh, Guerrilla Games. Horizon
Guerrilla.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
They used to have Japan Studio. Rest in peace.
Sony Santa Monica is very big. Well, no, and I'm getting my SoCal Sony Studios. Sony San Diego, formerly Angel Studios turned into Rockstar. Sony San Diego is the MLB The Show team.
Oh, in my head, that was also Santa Monica.
That's what I was about to say. That I'm like, wait, no, they're different teams.
Okay, that does make more sense than this being like, yes, you're the God of War and baseball team.
Yeah,
that was a weird combination in my head, but I never really questioned it. If Sony acquires something, it will be an individual company. It won't be like when Microsoft has acquired stuff, with the exception of Rare, you know, back in the day. The stuff that Microsoft is looking to acquire is they want parent companies that have a bunch of other companies under them. Whereas what Sony would be looking to acquire would be a studio.
Whoa. You know how we are trying to dunk on Sony about how many studios they have? Way more than I thought.
They use them?
Bend,
how many of them are support studios?
Well, Bend Studio, they did that Days Gone, and I think they're working on something new. I know them best as the Siphon Filter team. I like those games back in the day. Blue Point, who are literally made the game that you're about to start playing, Alex, Shadow of the Colossus and the Demon's Souls remake.
That was a somewhat recent acquisition, right?
2021.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
They got a VR developer, Fire Sprite, Firewalk Studios. That's one of those ones where they're buying low. Guerrilla Games, Horizon Developers.
Mm-hmm.
Haven Studios making that fucking terrible looking Fair Games game. Another one that they're buying low. Housemark, good developer.
Oh, that's right.
Insomniac, incredible developer.
Yep.
A London studio that makes SingStar and VR Worlds and stuff. Media Molecule, they still technically own. Even if, what are they doing these days? Still making Dreams. Naughty Dog, their PC port house, Nix's. Gran Turismo developer, Polyphony. San Diego. San Mateo is a support studio. Santa Monica is God of War. Sucker Punch, Sucker Punch is Ghost of Tsushima. I forgot that all of their creativity got zapped over a slow amount of period of 10 to 15 years. The Sly Cooper games are so good.
Yeah, I am excited to see what Sony can do without with a change in leadership.
Yeah,
because I don't remember if we talked about that on the show, but Jim Ryan's leaving Sony. Honestly, that sounds like fantastic news to me, because I don't think it's any secret on this show that I was at one point a PlayStation fan, but I just have really disliked the way that company has gone as far as the type of games they make. I would love to be a PlayStation fan again. I would love to like all three of these console makers.
Oh, but being a hater is so much fun.
it is fun being a hater, and then I started playing Insomniac games on my PS5, and they're really nice.
The first thing I looked for when the Spider-Man reviews came out was whether or not there were still MJ missions. Shout outs to IGN for helping me out. There are, and so I do not need to worry about buying Spider-Man 2.
Yeah. I think I was talking to somebody about it, and I think I've come to the conclusion where, especially because it seems like the story missions and that are kind of bloated, Spider-Man 2 might be a game that I just mess around with and maybe play aimlessly for a very long time, much like I'm playing Zelda.
I already thought the first one was bloated.
That's part of the reason why Miles Morales is so good.
Yeah, it's not bloated. They just need to be. Honestly, Ubisoft put out a statement about Assassin's Creed Mirage and how well that's doing.
Good.
Despite being like a way lower budget, way smaller team game, and it kind of lends credence to that whole, you know, I want smaller games made by fewer people with worse graphics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Because Mirage is also like a smaller experience. It's meant to evoke the original Assassin's Creed, which,
and it's a $50 game.
Yeah, like, I really like Assassin's Creed 1. That is one of those things that, like, I mean, there are other good Assassin's Creed games, but I feel like Assassin's Creed 1 is a very novel and neat game I'm curious about Mirage.
Assassin's Creed 1 is super flawed, but it's also like so of that time. Like,
yep.
It's, you know, what can this Xbox 360 do? Like Assassin's Creed 2 is just Assassin's Creed 1, but better in every single way. But I do love Assassin's Creed 1. I think I just like the setting of Assassin's Creed 1.
At some point, it'll inevitably be very cheap. So I'm not buying Mirage anytime soon. But we should play that. And the Ubisoft about here.
Assassin's Creed 1 is still not on Switch. It is the
really.
It is the only Assassin's Creed pre Syndicate that is not on Switch.
Huh.
It's very weird.
And especially when they're kind of like going back to that. I guess Mirage is, I think, a little bit more Assassin's Creed 2 is what it's going back to.
I think they kind of consider everything pre-Origins to be classic Assassin's Creed, because that was their soft reboot.
Yeah. But I think Mirage, I think like the story is more in line with like Assassin's Creed 1 era. I don't know. Yep. At some point I'll probably check out Mirage, because I got Origins and Odyssey, and granted, those are completely different types of game from what Mirage is intending to be. Origins and Odyssey are fun as hell.
Oh, they're like, great games. Yeah.
Very, very good.
Valhalla is good. It's just too long.
Yeah, that is why. Like,
I've played that game for so long and made no progress.
Playing Origins and Odyssey, like Origins, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. It's not that long. And I played Odyssey. I'm like, oh, shit, this is way too long. And then I heard Valhalla was even longer. I'm like, nope.
Yep.
Odyssey was really good for like 20 hours. Then you realize it was going to be that same 20 hours stretch for another 100. Yeah,
I did not finish
Absolutely.
Odyssey.
Yeah, great
Still
game.
Still had a lot of fun with it. Like, honestly, no real shade to Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I had a very good time with it. I just don't need to play that game for 150 hours.
And with all three of those, Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla, even the ones I didn't finish, I felt like I got my money's worth. Like, I had a great time. Yeah. So to get back to the question, I do understand where Ubisoft could be one that somebody would try to pick up. Ubisoft is not in a great place right now. Though, like, Assassin's Creed is doing well for them. I'll be interested to see how their Avatar game does, which is theoretically coming out in December. I feel like they could turn it around. They just made a series of very poor choices over the last few years and released some trash. So we'll see if they can turn it around.
I don't think Sony can buy them. I don't think they have the war chest for it. And I'm not sure if
Microsoft would want might to? Legally not be able to because they licensed cloud gaming to them as part of their deal with the CMA to allow that to go through. They had to split up the cloud rights.
So
I would assume that part of that also says that Microsoft can't just go and buy Ubisoft. Those rights, I believe, go for 10 years. So we'll see what happens after that. But Ubisoft could be in a very different place or could not exist at all.
When the last Call of Duty comes out for Nintendo, that's when you know Microsoft will be ready to buy Ubisoft.
Yeah, they're
open for business. I do. But thinking about what big acquisitions there are, EA is the next one.
EA is in a, I guess I don't know what position EA is in. They've been out of the news recently.
Where they could be acquired by a bigger company.
Yeah, I just mean like I feel like Activision, Xbox probably had a window with Activision just because I think their like value went down significantly, in the years preceding that. Because they were arguably responsible for deaths. Which will do that to your stock prices.
And I mean, and Ubisoft is definitely like the other big publisher that has had, I mean, they just fired a bunch of people who did terrible things, and have been mired in a lot of sexual workplace harassment stuff for a couple of years now. But I think also, I think Ubisoft is in a better position to fight back if somebody were to offer them to buy them. Cause I think, I mean, like, you know, the Yves Guillemot and the other leadership, like they fended off a company trying to, you know, kind of activist invest their way in. I forget, what was it? Was it Vivendi that was trying to buy into them or something? And I do, I mean, I think EA is just a company that I think they'd kind of want to be bought if somebody would pay them a lot of money. As far as like other big, it's weird because, like, what other AAA publishers are truly out there?
Sega.
Yeah. And Sega, I feel, is convoluted just because of the Atlas of it all as well.
Yeah, but them having sub-studio is what makes them enticing to Microsoft.
Yeah. Yeah.
They like that buy one, get one.
I mean, I think, wasn't there something out there about Microsoft kind of kicking the can on Sega? Capcom is another one that I think Capcom, never Square say never, Enix. but Capcom's doing fine. Square Enix, I mean, that would be if Sony had a lot of money. I think Sony,
I'm sure
might
Sony
do
would
that.
Love to buy Square Enix.
Yeah. But I think the thing is that the situation that Sony and Square Enix are in right now is probably mutually beneficial to both of them.
Yeah.
I do also think that like Square Enix is still operating in that space where like they're still working with Nintendo. Like I think Sony's definitely, you know, working with them on much bigger games like Final Fantasy 16 and the 7 Remake series. But, you know, Live Alive, Bravely Default 2, even Super Mario RPG, which we are a month away from its launch. We still don't know who's developing that.
Yeah.
Square Enix has to be involved in some capacity because the characters are split copyright.
Yeah, with Square Enix, we know that most of any instance of Square Enix not working with Xbox, we know from, I think, the Epic Apple case, wasn't that that they were PlayStation exclusive in any way. It's that they were specifically paid not to put things on Xbox.
Yeah.
Like, we found out that they at one point experimented with a Final Fantasy VII Remake port for Switch, which implies that that was fine. Like, they could have put it on Switch. It was just they could have put it on Xbox.
Yeah.
And maybe I think that's kind of Sony's play, is it's, you know, rather than buying these big studios, just pay them off to not put stuff on their competitor's console. They don't care if it goes to Nintendo.
And I mean, even stuff like, Octopath 2 is eventually coming to Xbox.
Yeah. Sony stopped paying the check.
Probably. Yeah. That was very funny because Octopath 1 is not on PlayStation, but is on Xbox, and Octopath 2, at least until 2024, is on PlayStation and not on Xbox.
What a weird game to like fight over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you don't need it. It's fine.
But no, I mean, I have a hard time thinking that that Sony would ever buy Square Enix, if only because I think Square Enix kind of splitting between Sony and Nintendo is too lucrative. And I think you would, like, Square Enix would be cutting off a big portion of their sales.
I'll float this out here, since I was talking about it on stream yesterday with Matt and Seren, who was in chat. But with Kamiya gone, do you think somebody might want to pick up Platinum?
Why would you?
Yeah, I don't know what? To make Star Fox Zero 2.
There who, you like, go.
But who the fuck is there to make that game?
Yeah, I want. Do you think Platinum lasts for another year?
I guess the question is Platinum only Kamiya? Like, is there anything else?
I think there was other people.
At this point, they don't really. They also all left.
Yeah, like all the other people that weren't him.
Mikami has been gone for like a decade.
Yeah.
I'm now looking to see like who's even still there. Like, I guess the Bayonetta Origins guy is there. But that's not like you don't buy the thing for fucking Bayonetta Origins.
No, I mean you wouldn't buy Bayonetta Origins.
Yeah,
I didn't buy Bayonetta Origins.
Nobody did.
I have had the demo downloaded on my. Let's see. Is the Bayonetta 3 director even still a Platinum? Okay, apparently he's still a Platinum.
Ooh.
But also, he was a dude who replaced a guy who left.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I suppose you could.
Is Tara still there? The
I
guy
suppose
who did.
Nintendo I could buy did. Them purely to get the IPs. Like, you wouldn't need the staff. But you could grab Bayonetta, and like bonus points you get Vanquish.
Yeah, okay. Tara, who worked on Nier Automata, and also was the lead director on Astral Chain, he's still there.
There you go.
So that he's probably honestly at this point he's probably their biggest asset.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I still need to play Nier. It resided that my copy of Nier resided in my Switch for a little while, but now Sonic has replaced it.
That's a tragedy.
It's got good writing. It doesn't play that great.
Oh no. Is Matt breaking up with you now?
No, Matt is he's aware of the issues. I mean, like it's similar to the issues I had with Final Fantasy 16, where if you're doing a linear stretch of story gameplay stuff, it's fantastic. As soon as you're thrown back into the semi-open world, it's very boring. And the action doesn't keep up with Final Fantasy 16, which just came out this year. But it's pretty hack and slash. You're spamming your light and heavy attacks and hitting dodge every now and then. That's really what it comes down to.
I think it's weak even compared to Platinum's other hack and slash. Like, I don't think the hack and slash plays as well as like Bayonetta 2.
Yeah. But I've heard that people prefer Bayonetta and I think Revengeance as well.
Revengeance is a dope game.
Though those things are going for more of a pure character action rather than like action RPG. But
yeah,
I mean, Nier is still carried heavily by its aesthetic and the writing and the themes it's tackling and its music. Like, it's all quite good. I'm enjoying it. But every stream that is just like, oh, we're just going to do side quests today. I could take it or leave it.
Yeah, you could make the argument that the combat is its weakest element, which is funny for a Platinum's game, third person action game. Play Astral Chain.
I'm not interested in that game at all.
Astral Chain was great.
The dog looks cute. I'll give it that.
But anyway, Hashimoto left. It's Tara is basically the only like notable designer that I think is still a Platinum.
Yeah.
Like they are, I am going to be very interested to see what happens to Platinum Games in the next couple of years. I think, like you said, John, it could be an IP pickup, but that's about it.
Yeah, I would have said that they might get Embraced, but I'm pretty sure Embracer has officially run out of money.
Yeah, I mean,
I just need them. I just need
Platinum
them to get
Games or Embracer.
That's Embracer.
I don't know, man.
Here's what Embracer has that Platinum does not. A Switch version of Biomutant, and that will save everything.
That's coming
is
out
that
soon.
Next year? I think it's next year.
I thought it was November.
If it's November, I have some emails to write. God, is there a reality in which I'm reviewing Biomutant and Hogwarts Legacy on Switch at the same time?
November 30th, 2023.
Oh, my dream. That's gonna get delayed. We haven't heard anything about that game. That's 100% getting delayed.
Yeah.
Did the original release of Biomutant make money?
Technically.
Probably
it
not.
So here's the thing about the original release of Biomutant. It was
cool
made,
game, honestly.
It was made by like five people and had a budget of $10. Okay. And I believe it did very well given the budget. Like, I think it did make money just right. because it was such a low budget game.
Well, it was in development for years. Like, I remember hearing about that game in, was it like 2016 E3 or?
Yeah. No, it was, I mean, later. Once again, it was a big open world game made by a very small team.
Yeah.
It is not a perfect game. It is not a great game. It's maybe a good game. but I really like their ambition with that game to just do a totally new IP with gross looking little characters and just be like, buy it. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to what you have to say about the Switch port.
Yeah.
Because that game's neat.
It is neat. More people should go play Biomutant. Support your local
yet.
THQ Nordic.
It's not on Switch yet.
Well, it will be.
Shout out to Mark.
Specifically you, Mark.
Yep.
Okay, we do have one more email before we finish the show to harken back to the Game Club episode from last week. This is from Adolf Vega. This is a bit of a longer one. Great discussion on the podcast. I haven't recently played the games, but I do have distinct memories of all of the games. DS, Wii, Wii U are all solid games. Not the same tier of 3 and World, but not bad, and I have good memories of each of them. 2 is barely a 7 out of 10, only because of DLC. The DLC is fun and interesting, and the hard levels are great compared to the terrible, hard Mario Maker levels. The main game is a 6 out of 10. Nothing is fundamentally broken or rough. It's just so uninspired, boring level design. The coin dynamics are not fun and definitely felt deflation of coins because of the huge amount of coins in the game. For me, this game feels like a soulless AI created this game with a formulaic design. It just didn't capture my imagination. The 3D implementation is bad. Blurring the background is not interesting. I'm so sad the 3DS never got a layered 2D Mario game that has stereoscopic graphics. I think games like 3 World and Yoshi's Island and even Wario Land games could look so nice with layered 3D. Mighty Switch Force and Shantae 3DS proved how beautiful 3D layers looked on the 3DS. So frustrating that Nintendo decided to make New Super Mario Bros. 2 have blurry, crappy 3D visuals. I enjoyed the fact this game was first fully downloadable mainline Nintendo game. I mostly have digital games now, and I was excited about that becoming normalized with this game. On DS, I enjoyed how it incorporated some 3D Mario gameplay mechanics into a 2D game. Felt like some of the Donkey Kong 94 were finally implemented into a mainline game. The multiplayer Wii version put the fun in frustrating. The level design of U and Luigi U was pretty damn good, and it finally felt like it was stepping it up. My scores: DS 8 out of 10, Wii U 8.5, 3DS 6 out of 10 for main game, but with the DLC 7 out of 10, Wii U / Luigi U 9 out of 10. The new games aren't lost levels bad, or even some random 5-year-old Mario Maker trash levels, but they're just not top-notch content inspired by brilliant gameplay mechanics. Ironically, the new games got old fast and feel like cynical cash grabs meant to help generate sales for specific hardware. I feel the same way about the new games as I feel about Sunshine. They are solid, enjoyable games that just feel uninspired and lackluster. I don't love Odyssey like many people, but I do recognize that it has a fantastic premise and it's very well executed. Maybe not for me like Yoshi's Island, but its gimmick is worthwhile. 64 Galaxy games felt inspired and pushed the gameplay into new territory. Sincerely, Adolf Vega. That was a lot.
Super Mario Odyssey is the platonic ideal for 3D Mario games. You know what? That's honestly kind of my reaction to that statement. It's just, I talked about it before, where during 2020, I replayed mainly because I had to survive with a child at home while I was working. Mm-hmm. So I just gave him a Wii U, and it involved playing a lot of 3D Mario games. All of the 3D Mario games are flawed in different ways and to different extents. And I think Odyssey is just the best like collection of all of the good things of what came in the past in one package. Cause like I love 64. 64 in 2023 plays a lot different than it did in 1996. I can't knock 64 because in 1996, that was bleeding edge, incredible, mind-blowing stuff. But those last couple levels of 64 are kind of terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets weak in the back half.
Yeah, and like Galaxy's got some weak crust to it. Sunshine is fascinating but flawed. I don't like Galaxy 2 because I'm a heathen.
That's my thing with Galaxy is most of the stuff I don't like about Galaxy, I later realized was from Galaxy 2. I think Galaxy 1 is great, but...
I think Galaxy 1 is like 70 to 80% absolutely excellent. And yeah, then that last 20% is either wee nonsense or eh.
Yeah. But I do agree with your take that the 3D effect in New Super Mario Bros. 2 is sort of uninspired.
Should have been better. Yeah.
Yep. Though I did use it a lot because I did kind of like I do like the depth of field effect in a 2D platformer. But I agree that, yeah, just having like two layers of parallax is kind of lackluster on a platformer like yeah. that.
I would like to follow up to our game club where I expressed some doubt and reservations about Mario Wonder. I'm back in. I'm all in.
Okay, you know, this episode comes out the day that Mario Wonder comes out. So final thoughts on whether or not you're going to like it.
If I will eat shit, I will find out very soon. When I went to go pick up my copy of Sonic Superstars, I played through the demo again. A very fun demo. And also seeing the Ask the Developers, at least so far, we've had two of the, I think, four parts out mm-hmm. as of recording. Tezuka and Koji Kondo with like just their commentary on it, and just even beyond the Koji Kondo wanted a live action Mario that said boing when he jumped, like that is I'm gonna be giggling about that for months.
In my head there was like a very serious boardroom meeting and Koji Kondo just like stumbled into the room just super high and was just like yo live action Mario, he's gonna say boing, and then just stumbled back out.
He fills up the whole screen, and when he jumps, he just goes boing.
Yep. He like stumbled back out, sat down at a piano, and wrote the most beautiful thing you've ever heard, and then fell asleep.
But it is just hearing more from the developers, and we've heard a lot of this in other interviews and commentary recently. The Game Informer feature is also very good. Like their magazine cover story got posted online earlier this week. It's just hearing like how the development process of like some people thought that Mario Maker made it so new 2D Mario games were unnecessary. Let's prove them wrong. Like mm-hmm. I love the spirit that seemed to have fueled Wonder's development. Maybe I will still go back to my cynical skepticism from last week, but right now I'm all in, and I'm going to a midnight launch.
Woo woo!
My GameStop that I is a very low volume GameStop, much to my surprise, is having a midnight launch for Mario Wonder. So I'm going to go at midnight and get it, and come home and play a level and fall asleep.
I am optimistic I will like it more than Sonic Superstars. Oh, also, Sonic Superstars, worse than Castlevania Lords of Shadow Mirror of Fate, just for the record.
Fair.
I'm glad we do have that on the record now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex.
Yeah.
What are your final optimistic or unoptimistic thoughts on Wonder before it, with in mind that your words will be published on the day the game comes out with no time to rectify them?
I've gone from being kind of excited for it to picking up a 2D Mario here and there. Yeah, for the reason why I haven't been on the game clubs is because none of the 2D Mario seemed to click with me, and I didn't really have a whole lot to say, and I wasn't really enjoying myself playing through the games that I did play. I am intrigued by Wonder. I don't think it's going to solve 2D Mario for me, though. That's so fair. I don't know. If I'm at a Target and I have some free time to play a demo, I'll give it a shot and see if it's worth spending the money on it. But I'm in no rush. I wish my local library had Mario Wonder. Or had any video games.
Had Midnight Borrowing.
They don't have any video. What's wrong with Texas, man?
I don't know. Please come over and fix things for us.
I have Jedi Survivor on hold. They had what do they have? Final Fantasy 16.
We don't even have Shadow of the Sith. Well, somebody does. Not me. Yeah.
So you gotta get your holes in, man. Yeah, I'm buying friggin' Spider-Man on Friday, but like any game on PlayStation that I'm interested in, it seems like my local library is going to buy most big releases on PlayStation. They even have like Gotham Knights. Like, sure, yeah, I'll mess around with Gotham Knights for a day.
And then that is on Game Pass and PlayStation Double Plus Good you're safe.
Yeah, and I mean, I also with the price hikes for PlayStation Plus, like I'm not getting it next year.
Yeah, but do you have it through the end of this year or like
for I have until next August or okay, something so around yeah, there. I got for a one while. Year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I happen to get it right before the price hike, which worked
good
out.
Good on you.
Hey Neil, are you going to take a break from playing Mario Wonder on Friday?
What do you mean?
I'm just wondering, you know, if maybe during that break you might want to play Monster Prom with me, Matt, and Joe.
This Friday. Maybe.
I like that this is the second episode of Connectivity in a row where someone's been like, hey, while you're live on the air, can I rope you into a stream?
Well, Matt did say, don't forget to strong arm Neil into Monster Prom on Discord. He also asked, why wasn't I invited to talk Sonic?
Because you're playing Sonic, Matt. Get back to work.
John didn't want to have you on in order to sing praises of a game that he
honestly
hates.
I did sort of want I wanted one opportunity to just like rag on the game before anybody else could get here and tell me that it's actually good. just let me have this because it seems like based on like Metacritic and the internet that people seem to like this game, so I wanted to get the truth out there before I was silenced by the Sonic fandom.
And Matt, you are the Sonic fandom.
You are the entire Sonic fandom. Unless it's Sonic Frontiers, in which case, weirdly, we trained places. I'm not sure what happened
Is this the first Monster Prom, or is it like the new one?
I didn't know there was a new one. I'm guessing
there's
it's the
three.
First. There's three? Okay. Well,
yeah.
Since there was no Monster Prom then a number on it in the schedule, I'm just going to assume it's probably the first one.
That's the only one I've really played that much. I think I reviewed it but as long it's for me, it's not a lack of wanting to. I have children.
Are you going to turn this down in front of all these people, Neil?
I mean, it depends on the time. We'll follow up.
There's like 10 people listening. One of them's Matt, and like he's very sensitive about you turning down streams.
I mean, he will know. By the time he hears this, he will know if I'm going to be
it's like right.
Done.
It's like right before they start streaming, and Matt's just listening to this, like, white knuckle in it. Like, is he going to show up?
He's waiting at his desk listening to the last bits of this episode that releases on the same day we're supposed to stream.
Sadly, just backspaces through Neil's name and the Twitch title.
I'll figure out what time and stuff because it depends on what's going on. But I would like to do it. It just depends if I can.
Well, you are formally invited.
Thank you.
You can find out how this story ends by going to twitch.tv/NintendoWorldReport on the night that this episode comes out, probably. And find out what happened.
Mario Party Monthly, you're doing it, right, John?
That seems to be the plan.
Yes.
So. Yeah. I wonder what Mario... I don't have to, like, buy a Mario Party game, right? Are we playing an old one?
It should be 7, so...
Okay. I actually own that on GameCube, but I don't think my GameCube has internet.
No, we use a really long HDMI cable.
Okay, so. Cool. Yeah. I'll wait for you to just ship one half of that to me.
Yep.
As the other half dangles out the back of the UPS truck.
Yeah, Matt will have the information.
Yep. Great. Okay. Well, with that... I think that's the end of the episode. Every Connectivity episode is now going to end with a segment where we just like sort of plan content for the back half of the week and forget to end it. You can follow us on Twitter or X at ConnectivityNWR. You can also follow Nintendo World Report on Twitter and Blue Sky, because who knows, maybe Twitter's paid for by the time that this episode comes out and we shift over to Blue Sky. Yeah, send in your thoughts on Sonic Superstars. Or if you've played Mario Wonder by the time you're listening to this, you can send in your thoughts on that to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. And I think that's all I got. Thanks for joining me, fellas. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, time to play Sonic.